We are glad that you are here this evening, and we're in Key Bible Study. We remind you it's a five-year overview of Scripture, and we're in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is one of my favorite portions of the Bible because my children tell me I have ADHD. And I like things that move quickly, and I change the subject quickly. And I do, and that's why I like the book of Acts, because the book of Acts and the Gospel of Mark, those are two Bibles written for people with ADHD. The Gospel of Mark, you know, he never finishes a sentence until he gets on to something else. And the book of Acts moves very quickly. But when you read the book of Acts, there are themes that flow through it. While the scene and the visuals change quickly, there's a thread through it. A number of years ago, it was during the 90s, there was a defining moment in sports television. And it was during the Final Four, and I'm not sure what year it was. It was mid-90s. They took 64 seconds and showed highlights from every game in the NCAA tournament. And you could watch that game, and if you had, watch that 64 seconds, and if you watched that, you very quickly got an overview of the entire tournament because they chose little highlights, and I mean just 1 second spots, and if you had been, you know, some of the March Madness people, they really get, you know, they can remember every great scene from it. And you could tell the story of that tournament in 34 seconds. Now, it was filmed many different places, many different games, and in that moment, they told the story in 64 seconds, but there was one theme, and it was the tournament. Now, when you look at the book of Acts, some happens in Asia, some happens in Europe, some happens with Paul, some happens with Peter, some happens with Silas, some happens here, there, every place, and you put it all together. But it's one story. It's one story of God revealing himself through Jesus Christ in the power, in the person of the Holy Spirit to make his message and mission known to the world. Now, we like the quick movement of it, but it's important to remember that there is one theme, one thread that goes through it. Tonight, we look at a passage of Scripture that in some ways addresses a bias we all have. Maybe we all have it. I do. It's a temptation that we have. And that is the bias that when something good happens, then God had to be in it. When something bad happens, God had to be against it. Now, but I'm not talking about moral good or moral bad. I'm talking about bad to us. For example, you know, I can remember when I moved from Texas to Oklahoma. From Oklahoma to Texas. We had a house for sale in Oklahoma, and that was, oil prices were starting to go down then. You know, that's bad news for Oklahoma. And so as a result, the market, we had a difficult time selling our house in the market. And I can remember talking to people when I was, you know, living in Texas, making two house payments, one in Texas, one in Oklahoma. And I talked to somebody and they said, well, man, the Lord's so good, I had my house on the market 2 days and sold it. God had to be in that. And I'm thinking, well, what about me? You know, six months later. There was a family that Altafa and I, from Oklahoma, but we've stayed up with through the years, that we've often thought of their story. They moved from Indiana to Oklahoma State to be a professor, and their house did not sell for 5.5 years. And relatives were saying, you know, did you misinterpret the will of God, you know, or what, you know, and they'd laugh and talk about it, said we had to come to deal with the fact that just because it was difficult and bad for us didn't mean that God hadn't opened the door for him to move, for both he and his wife to move from the Purdue faculty to the Oklahoma State faculty. Now, we look at a passage of Scripture tonight that it is very clear that God spoke. And God said, this is what you're to do. And our next thought is, well, if God opened that door, wow, good things are going to happen. And as we read the story tonight, we'll understand that God opened a door, and for the first portion of it, good things started to happen. And then God slammed the door shut. And it was a significant shift. And you want to say, did they misinterpret it? Did they make a mistake? Just because difficulty happens in our life does not mean that we have misread the will of God. Because when we talk about God is good at all times, at all circumstances, that doesn't mean the good is something we like, but that God is always working for redemption. Now, let's look at a little bit more of the background, the who, what, when, and where. Remember, the story, it's God's story. Every book in the Bible is about God. The book of Acts is about God. Now, one of the difficulties that people had in the pagan world understanding this Jewish-Christian concept of God was they didn't understand how a God could be seen as a suffering God, because they understood, when you think of somebody's all-powerful, all-knowing people, since they're all-powerful and all-knowing, they ought to know what's happening next, and they could avoid all of the bad things. But the Bible speaks of God sending His Son as the suffering servant. And remember, that's why a portion of the world struggles still today with understanding that Jesus is the Son of God. They just cannot imagine a religion in which some kind of good God would allow His Son to suffer, so they assume that Jesus is not fully divine. Now, the world struggles with that, but we see in the passage tonight where there's suffering involved. The Apostle Paul is a second character tonight. When you think about Paul, as a kid, everybody was older. You know, when I saw Bible characters. And we keep those pictures in our mind that, you know, I get thinking, Paul was probably this old codger, you know. He may have been 69 years of age, you can never tell, you know. But more than likely, Apostle Paul was about 45 when he wrote this. And not when he wrote this, but when this takes place. That's 45, that's relatively a young man. It's about 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And when you think of Paul as a missionary, it helps me in my understanding to read Acts to go back to that phrase, church planter, because he moved frequently. And don't think, as we said last week, church planter, not today's church planter. Think of the church planter that stays a little while and then moves on. Other character, Silas. Silas in this story tonight is the traveling missionary or the traveling church with Paul. Silas, from what we know about his name, he was a Hellenistic Jew. Now, by Hellenistic Jew, that means that he probably was more accustomed with the Greek principles and the Greek culture than he was the Jewish culture. He would have been Jewish, but he'd probably lived, grown up in a Greek-speaking world. We also assume that because of his Greek-speaking in some other areas, he is most likely the same person that's mentioned in the book of 1 Peter. We don't know that for sure. But it would seem that he may be a pretty cosmopolitan guy. He's the type of person that could interact and interrelate with different cultures. Now, the map of where you see tonight, you'll see a map on the screen here of where this takes place. And when you look on the screen, notice Philippi over there, and the pointer on this screen doesn't work real well. It sort of loses it there. But it's on the Europe side. Now, in your mind, go down to the south, look to the right side of the screen, and you'll recognize that's Israel. There's Jerusalem down in that area. And the Christian faith spreads north. And you go up into Asia Minor. The Apostle Paul is very intent in staying in Asia Minor. But then God sends a vision. God speaks to Paul through what we mentioned last week, an amazing vision, and says, come over onto this side. In other words, come over onto the Europe side. So you can see the Christian faith is moving away from what has been Israel up to Asia Minor. Now it's over to Europe. Follow along with me in your Bibles, beginning with verse 16. Now, once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit. The setting for that, they've gone over to the Europe side. They're in Philippi. They've made some other stops along the way. But in Philippi, and we looked at this passage last week, they go to Philippi. There apparently is not enough men there to have a Jewish synagogue. So there is a Jewish prayer group that meets down by the river. They go down to the river. Lydia, who is a very articulate, gifted from what we gather from just some description of her, but a business lady, comes to faith. There is the story of the conversion. It's, you know, now remember, God opened the door. It looked like it was going to be a slam dunk. He goes to Philippi, and immediately there is a prominent lady that comes to faith. Man, that's like somebody getting saved on first night of revival back when we did those. You know, that was really exciting. So now you think, now the momentum, yes, we understand why God led there. Looks good. Okay, now when they're in there, there is a servant girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. There are two different kinds of fortune tellers. There are those who are the fakes, who absolutely, you know, they'll predict anything you want them to. And generally, whatever you want them to, that's what they predict. You know, if you tell them, you know, I think I'm in love. You think you're in love. Oh, you're, you know, yeah, I see a striking young lady or a handsome young man down the, you know, that in your life. Now, there are those that are absolute fake.